got a lot of
existing.
I got a lot of first episodes out there somewhere of various podcasts on the journey.
Yeah.
I'm always like, man, I'm going to do a real like proper rehearsed one about history, you know. I'm gonna I do all the research on one episode, and then you go, I'm never doing this.
Yeah, it's just
that's kind of what we're at too. Like, we've got lots of plans on how we can grow it, and like about a month ago, I was always saying like, we gotta gamify it, and we'll have categories, and we'll have sections, and instead we just have a chat and a laugh.
I'm doing this podcast in Australia at the moment about like various obscure history things.
Right.
And I'm doing a full 2-hour thing on the Spear of Destiny, which is like the spear that Adolf Hitler stole from the Vienna Museum.
What?
And like the level of research that I've had to do for a free podcast appearance. and my manager's like, we got to do this all the time. And I'm like, man, it's all right. Because I did radio for 6 years and it was like a great salary. And I was like, I'm just used to getting paid for the talking, and I've realized I'm not an entrepreneur, and I'm an employee.
Yeah.
I want to be paid.
Yeah.
I don't care about like growing it, owning it. I'm like, I don't want to turn up. I just want to do my thing and get the fuck out.
Then and go.
And the other thing is, it's nicer when people do the research for you.
They go,
if you can get a packet and stuff. But now you're like, can you make an appearance and talk about, what did you call it? The Sword of Destiny.
The Spear of Destiny. The Spear of
Destiny. And you're like,
the Spear of Destiny. A Roman soldier called Longinus stabbed Jesus on the cross to make sure he was actually
dead.
Oh,
that's that thing, yeah.
Blood came out of him, and it landed on Longinus' face, and he was cured of blindness. And so he converted to Christianity. He was one of the first martyrs ever. And that spear was then taken by every emperor, and they said that whoever holds the spear rules the world. And
it went down and down,
you know, Napoleon tried to get it. They hid it from him. But any time that someone would hold the spear and drop it, they would die. Like Charlemagne held it and he dropped it in a battle, and then he was dead within like an hour. And then Hitler, when he was like 19, was in Vienna, and he went into the museum and he saw the spear, and he said, the spear spoke to him and said, you will rule the world. Wow. If you can hold me, you can hold destiny in your hands. And so when he took Austria, right after the parade, he deviated straight to the museum, got his hands on the spear. They took the spear back to Nuremberg. And then when General Patton invaded Nuremberg, they took the spear out, and Hitler committed suicide 90 minutes later. And so there's all these people who are like, oh, he was informed that he lost the spear and that's why he killed himself.
Wow. This is, you've done some good research on this already. You're pretty good.
Where is it now?
I went and saw it, and it was fucking, like, it's kind of creepy. You seem like a real neo-Nazi, but it's in the Hofburg Museum in Vienna. And I got there like 10 minutes before closing time. Yeah. And I was like, is the spear here? And I was like, oh, God.
I was just staring
at it.
High alert.
Somebody's like, is he goose stepping up there?
Somebody's just
standing there looking at the spear. And I'm like, talk to me, spear.
Wow.
What greatness. Will I at least be a paid regular at an LA comedy club?
Sounds very Marvel movie.
I mean, I have more Indiana Jones. I feel like Indiana Jones.
No, if I actually could write anything, which I can't, I was like, that's a great Indiana Jones.
Exactly.
Movie.
That's I don't know if you remember that Indiana one where he's like the cup. Remember the cup? Jesus cup and then the thing and like that's all like the whole thing of like.
Yeah.
And then that's why he picks the poor.
You need Nazis. Nazis have to be in movies. Without Nazis, movies, like, because you don't have to explain.
Yeah, you already know the antagonist.
Well, general rom-com, you mean. You got to get specific. Yeah.
For any like movie where there's a villain, as soon as they're a Nazi, you know they have the means and they are evil enough to carry out the plan.
It actually would be funny, rom-com Nazis.
I know, of course. Well, you know, there was Heil Hitler, the sitcom. Heil Honey, I'm Home. It was a British sitcom called Heil Honey, I'm Home.
Really?
Yeah.
Heil Honey, I'm Home?
Yeah, Hitler coming home after a long day of killing Jews and then walking in and his wife's there and he's like, oh, Eva.
Oh, wow.
It was a tough day at the death camps.
Yeah, some dark, edgy comedy out of Britain.
But was that like a sketch or that was an actual
show?
It was a show. Oh, wow.
It's on IMDb. Look it up.
It's how many episodes?
They only did the pilot.
Oh, yeah. And then they took the spear back and they're like, we're canceling this.
This great Jewish conspiracy that ended the show. They heard everything.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty brutal.
So, hi, everybody. Welcome on in. This is the voice of Amos Gill that you've been listening to or seeing if you're watching on YouTube. Amos, our guest this week. Can we call you an immigrant out of Australia?
Yeah.
Are you living here?
That's
you committed like us? Like we're here. We're in LA.
I spent 10 grand.
The thing.
I'm an alien of extraordinary ability.
There
so
you
I have.
Go.
No, I mean, I hate it here. Absolutely, like LA.
I really enjoy this about Amos because it's so far. He's just brutally on the nose.
He just said it right away.
He's like, I'm here. But.
So what's the main thing that you hate about here?
Oh, where do we begin? I mean, I always say I didn't know I was a fan of architecture until I lived in the complete absence of it.
There's no architecture.
The trees do all the heavy lifting. It is a cracked out hellscape full of empty, vapid people and homeless people who are dying on the side of the road. If you've come from any other country, like I come from Australia and I didn't like it there and I left. Yeah. But you realize when you look around, you go, this is a dystopia.
Yeah.
And I'm an immigrant and it's weird. It's like a white, you know, middle class. You don't feel like an immigrant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I used to respect immigrants. And then I realized, well, immigrants are cowards who abandoned their family to fuck chicks with fake tits. That's all anyone. Like, you know what I mean? As an immigrant to LA, it's not like I've had to flee war. I was just like, my grandma has dementia. I don't like dealing with it. My family are boring. I'm going to try and get a Ferrari.
So you don't like the temporary pop-up feel of every bar that you see in LA?
You're not into that?
I just, dude, it's like, yeah. This town is so bad. What did I do? I called you yesterday and I just whinged for 45 minutes because I travel America a lot and I love the rest of America. That's the thing.
So it's just LA.
No, because everyone shits on I love the Midwest.
Yeah, you're like,
you know,
that.
I like New York. I don't know, maybe I don't. I'm one of those people. What do they say? It's just like, everywhere I went, there I was. And it's like, I always think I'm going to be happy when I move somewhere.
Got it.
And it takes you know, 3 weeks I've eaten tacos.
And then you go
I've been to the beach and then I'm like, oh, I'm still depressed because I'm me.
Yeah. So maybe the problem is you.
I think it is me.
Yeah. So it's not, maybe it's not LA.
No,
maybe
there's actually some good buildings in Koreatown.
That's the thing about a lot of comedians. I think we just keep moving. We just want to keep moving because
that's what I see
still.
Travel as, right? Like, I always think happiness is there and I'm always here. But then I go to there. And it's like happiness, there's a cigarette in an ashtray and I just missed him. And I'm like, he's moved to another town.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm going to go to London.
You're searching for happiness.
And then you run to that other town and you think, I'll be a great success there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the best comedian that London's ever seen. And then it's like 2 weeks you don't get booked. And you're like, I think it's Ohio for me.
Because then you're calling me and you'd be going, you know, they want you to buy a TV license here. I got to fucking buy a TV license. This place sucks.
Do you guys like it here?
I do. I mean, I moved to the U.S. when I was 12. I grew up in D.C., Maryland. So, and that's very more conservative, more like, you know, government stuff, more like that. And I moved here, you know, to pursue comedy. And from all the places that I travel around the U.S., yeah, I mean, I like here. I could live in New York, too, if I have to, you know, if I would, you know. And then, but I just like big cities. My thing is, like, I like big cities. I do like having the choices to go different neighborhoods, different food, different things. And then, like, what I don't like about small towns or small, it's like, you know, it's pretty much the same. You know, you get the four things and that's it. And then that's it. You're stuck there. And I got
bipolar. So it's like, my problem is that I like different cities for different states of my episodes. Mm. So I'll be in like a mania and I'll choose to move to America. And I'm like, I'm going to move to America.
Yeah.
It's the land of the free and the brave. I'm going to live in Malibu. I'm going to be so rich. They need my comedy. I'm a king, baby. I'm going to get over there. And I'm going to be way bigger than Jim Jefferies. I'm going to be the greatest comedian ever. And then I get here and a depressive episode starts. And I'm like, just take the health care and just be a mediocre Australian festival comedian. Keep your head down. You should have fucked your high school girlfriend and stayed with dad forever. Then you think you are.
And they start talking to you like you're a new comic as well. Working on it, kid. We'll give you.
Well, that's very hard because that's another thing too. Like, I cannot. I mean, you guys are different because you guys came with an already kind of like career establishing comedy and everything. Yeah. I came here literally to start comedy, and I had no idea that I was. So
I think that's a lucky choice. That's a good.
And it's a different thing.
Choice.
So I embrace, you know, LA because I started here, and I, you know, and kind of like it here, but it wasn't like. So I understand coming to a different place now where you have a career.
Yeah, I just had to come here for ego death. Where it's like, you actually ask somebody in another country and then you come here and people are like, here's how comedy works, mate. You want to write down the premise. And then what you'll do is you'll have the turn and that's where the punchline comes in. Now you do 3 minutes and we'll have you back in 6 months and see how you go. And you go, fuck, can I rebuild and restart?
And that's the thing, especially because when you already have fans and stuff like that, it's hard because I have friends that came from like, you know, Brazil and from Chile, which are, they're very huge over there. And they basically kind of had to start over again, even doing open mics and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
if they were doing comedy in Brazil, they probably weren't very good.
They what? No, no, they are. They're pretty good.
What do they do over there? Because I've got a friend.
Well, they live in New York now. So then they're
right. So they chose New York over Sunshine.
He lived here for a bit, and then they chose New York because it's, you know, better for stand-up in terms of like going.
We had a guy come to Australia, and his name, he was like a chef, and he came down and did an open mic, and he was quite good.
Is he Canadian?
No, he's Venezuelan. Okay. Right. And we were like, Ivan.
I know him, Ivan.
Ivan Arrizabalaga. We were like, Ivan, man, you're pretty good at stand-up for like an open mic. And then you look at him on Twitter, he's got like 2 million followers.
Yeah.
And he had to flee Nicolas Maduro and the Venezuelan government because he was mocking them.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And then he's just
but he's in Australia.
Yeah, he's just a grill chef.
He's doing well in Australia.
He's big. He can obviously never go back.
He's actually the one that I, because he actually moved kind of from Venezuela, you know, when I started doing comedy. So we kind of like started doing English, you know, comedy at the same time, you know what I mean? So like, he's the only one that I'm like, kind of relate to in terms of like going to a different place and literally starting.
He's the best man because like, you'd be in an open mic and some guy would be like an edgelord and he's like, man, you can't say anything these days. And he's just like, really, puppy? I had to escape the firing squads of Venezuela because I was making jokes about Maduro. And this guy's just over there like, oh, I can't say fingering at the 6 o'clock show. We live in a fascist state.
We have very different problems, my friend. Very different.
Well, I don't know, man. Look, traveling, I'm obsessed with the fact that this guy does a travel show, by the way, because we travel a bit opening for Jim Jefferies.
Yeah.
And he's the worst traveler for someone who travels for a living. And I'll tell you why.
Me?
You suck at travel.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you're the worst.
I'm glad that you're finally. Yeah. I keep telling
him. We've hardly even done any gigs together.
No, no, no. Listen, you're probably good.
What is this about?
No, because you're probably good in your own head at traveling. And you are, like, because you're a happy-go-lucky guy. You are a puppy dog. You're a Labrador human being. But you don't, you have no status.
A Labrador, by the way, I could see you like, I feel like a Disney movie that he becomes like a dog but never became a dog. He's like half dog.
Yeah.
He's like shaggy but not like.
You are a shaggy-like figure. So what happens with JJ is like, for instance, I picked him up from the airport with a girl I was seeing and she's like, pulls up out the front of LAX. And he's just like, oh, I've just had a long trip. This is my JJ. Oh, man, I'm really tired. And he's got a plastic bag of clothes overflowing.
Oh, no.
And my girlfriend was just like, oh, like, where have you been? And he's just like, I've been in the UK for like 5 weeks.
Oh.
He has no clothes he travels with. He has like one plastic bag.
Oh, yeah.
We travel for
that
a living. He has no status.
This is not true.
You have no status on any airline.
I told him he's crazy.
He sits in the back.
Not true.
You're never in a lounge.
Exactly.
It's like, we travel for a fucking living. Just stay with Delta. Get on the points, but you're always up the back, and it causes a lot of fights in our team because Jim's always just like, why do we have to wait for JJ? And it's because, like, JJ doesn't believe in status because, to be honest, he's an egalitarian. He doesn't see himself, but I'm like, bitch.
Of course. I tell him the same way. This is the argument we have. He doesn't care. I'm like, the point of we travel
he's
so
a communist.
Much. Yes.
I'm a communist.
He's a communist.
He's
a Canadian communist.
He's like a peasant, you know, with bags.
Travels with a plastic bag.
JJ doesn't belong in air travel. He belongs in like a freight
bus,
train.
Yeah.
Where he just jumps off the train and rolls down
hobo,
into the town.
Hobo style.
That's how you do the British circuit. You jump on and off trains.
So times have changed, buddy.
Because if I don't get into the lounge.
This doesn't
me
prove
too. I gotta get into the lounge.
Why? Why?
Because I want to watch a fat fucking get a Jimmy John's.
And get like, and then have the ability to have a drink there for free, eat something, wait there. So I don't, and until the flights, even if like a flight change, you change it quickly, everything's better. The point is
no,
that
I feel better about myself as well.
You're so much.
Yeah, no, it's never close to the gate or anything. But why do you want to go to an airport and have multiple destinations?
Is it about the money? Is it about the money?
The food is crap.
Is it about the money?
No,
is that what it is?
No, it's about.
I don't know what's the excuse.
It's working class cred with him. Okay, he's been.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want to be like you want to suffer because that makes you feel like.
But I don't find it suffering. I know what value is, and it's not. It's
so somebody tells you like, hey, let's fly private, and you're like, no, I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna take a Greyhound bus.
Like, Spirit actually gets me there quicker than the private jet. Yes. So I'm
no,
Spirit.
I wouldn't do that.
Okay, so then what's the point? Then why?
But why do you have to have? Why do you have to? Why do
no,
you have to have
No, we're not saying that
status.
We have to. The thing is like,
yes,
what
you
he's
are.
Saying,
you,
oh, I believe it. I have to have status.
But what I'm saying is like,
and I don't need
if
it.
We fly so much, why not use it? Because you're flying anyways a lot. Like if you stick to one airline, fly, and then you're gonna get the status.
Yeah, but here's the thing about that as well. You stick to one airline because it goes all the places you need, but Delta doesn't go to Canada and it doesn't go to Nova Scotia. So I don't have a specific airline that I can stick to.
Yeah.
So
Qatar. Bloody platinum on Air Qatar. I don't care how many migrant workers they kill. The planes are good. The planes are great. And that there, I look at my Qatar points, then my Delta points, and it's shameful, but I do feel like a better human being because I'm flying privileged. And there's nothing like going to the first class lounge and relaxing and then flying to Greenville, South Carolina and selling 8 tickets at the Comedy Zone.
Yes.
Right.
Because I know it's all downhill.
That's a different step.
When I leave the airport, I'm me again and I'm fucking dirt. But while I'm in the airport, I'm an aristocrat.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it makes you guys feel good.
Advantage
it doesn't make me feel good at all. It feels overrated. It feels full of shitheads. It feels there's, I can sense the arrogance.
Yeah, you're like a communist.
I don't need any of that crap.
Yeah, yeah. You are a communist.
I'm a communist.
You're a commie. Traitor to our country. Commie.
I'm a socialist, goddammit.
This guy needs to go back to Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
Suck Justin Trudeau's cock in economy.
Well, I can get status there. I can, as long as I'm flying WestJet or whatever. No, I mean, I get in the lounges all the time with work and stuff, and I always find it overrated when I'm there. I don't feel that it's anything to aspire to. I think you're wasting your time.
So what, you prefer to be next to the Dunkin' Donuts?
I sit in green rooms with you fuckers while you all talk about your status and how you got bumped up, and I sit and I listen to your fucking conversations, and I just think, oh my God, my soul would
want because you're a commie.
To die if I had to have these conversations.
No, when me and Jim talk about it all the time, we're not even angry at you. We're like, imagine to be JJ, how much happier you could be in life if you didn't care. But you're always like wedged between two of the fattest people who are like feeding their sandwich to a dog. And you're like this. Oh, yeah, we got peanuts back here. I made two friends on the flight.
Yeah, he flies like it's like the first, like he's like Heidi coming out from the mountains. It's his first flight ever. It's like, bro, you fly for a living. At one point when you're going
to
be like,
it's like Elf in when he comes to New York City.
Exactly.
Whoa, these jets are going real fast. Yeah. I love.
Wow, we get free
I
water.
I love what it requires to make me of in order to carry on this story.
Oh, I'm next to the toilets. No. I don't have to work so far to get to the dunny. Oh yeah, this is good.
Dunny?
I can hear the air hostesses gossiping back here. It's
you
great.
You just tried to say dunny in a Canadian accent.
Yeah, I went like to Aussie.
That is strictly an Aussie word.
Oh, crikey.
No, I'm never wedged in the middle. I get window seats for the most part. It's only if you have to get a last minute flight that you have to accept a middle seat.
No, but I'm like, but I mean this honestly for a travel podcast. I whinge about not being, I whinge about being on the road too much. And I'm traveling all the time because I go back to Australia up and back. That's 15 hours up and back. Sometimes
crazy.
Just for like a corporate gig or an Aussie TV thing. And I'll do 15 hours there and then I'll do like be there 2 days, come back to 15 hours. And so I whinge about it a lot, but my existence is the airport. I feel like George Clooney and Up in the Air.
Yeah,
it's my
I was going to mention
movie.
That. Yeah, yeah.
And I love my little life there because it's a little ecosystem that I know well and I know how to succeed
in it.
And
you have respect.
And I have respect there and I understand how, and then I get out of the airport and it's fucking chaos.
Yeah.
It's madness, and my life is falling apart.
Yeah.
You know what the best thing about being good at travel
Which is what the movie is about.
Is I'm a lonely human being. My life is an atomized waste of space. I have torched any real relationships, both familial, romantic, whatever, in the pursuit of this job. Okay.
Yeah.
But when I travel, I'm lonely, but I'm better at that lonely than other people. I look at people and they go, oh, I'm lonely in hotels. I'm like, no, no, no. This is fantastic. The worst place to be lonely is when you land at home and you go, I'm lonely at home. And you go, well, that's on you.
Yeah.
Because you've got no one here.
Well, that's what I was
going to... And you shouldn't be lonely in LA where you live.
That's what I was going to ask you about living here.
Yeah.
If you don't look forward to being here as much, what kind of home circumstances have you given yourself?
Yeah,
do you have status in your own apartment building?
Absolutely not. No, right. I'm also like a drifter, man. I'm just like crashing on people's houses and like I've never really laid down any roots, which is probably why I feel mentally ill here.
So you're JJ outside of the airport.
Yes, I can't because I keep wanting to like get an apartment in LA and I'm like, I refuse to accept this is where I live.
I am so correct about the way I do things.
Dude, I once saw JJ take a Lime scooter to a Dodgers game.
Oh my God.
You had to go up a highway on a Lime and leave it at the front. And then you're like, oh, it's tough to date in LA. And I'm like, you can't take a girl to catch.
I don't. You know that's I mean? Not. These are those are yeah, such.
Just, well, he just rolling his bike.
Things.
He just rolling his bike.
Combine these two things. That's fucking.
He just
rolling
his bike. He's like, yeah, it's like hard to go.
Yeah,
on a
I brought
date.
My bike here.
Yeah, how are you gonna pick up?
I don't take my bike on dates.
How do you do?
Dates,
how
do you get on? How do you take a woman on a date?
What do you as say?
A
guy, like, hey, no, she's like, can you go
take
pick
her
me up?
Drinking and I'm quite charming.
Yeah, but then how do you get him home?
But yeah, you take Ubers.
I usually, we take an Uber.
But when they
you're drinking. What is your?
But when no, when they go like, so you don't have a car. Where do they go? What do they say?
I don't currently have a car. I had a Lexus in this town for a while. I got rid of that.
Name drop for Lexus.
Lexus.
There you go.
Yeah. Wow.
Ooh, upgrade on a Toyota.
You don't have a car either.
No, I don't.
What the fuck? What the fuck is going on with this game
plan? I don't know. I was always told you attack the hosts, and I know you're better than Francisco.
And also, I brought my e-bike here today. It's fucking awesome. It's sunny out. You might as well cruise. You're never sitting in traffic. It's efficient. And same thing when my brother-in-law came. He was a Boston Red Sox fan or whatever. We took those Lime scooters to the games and stuff. He fucking loved it. We were at the games all the time, and
we were ripping
around town on them. So
yeah, but you do live like a borderline homeless guy, or like yeah. You know what I mean, like.
He's a bindle kind of guy.
Yeah, like camping all the time, like, you know, like.
I hate camping.
You are like, let me put it this way.
I'm
Rick Caruso
efficient.
Wants to kill you.
I am.
You're Rick Caruso's prop. Like, I actually
Who's
saw
Rick Caruso.
Rick Caruso the is the guy that spent $100 million.
I saw a political ad, cut? And when they were attacking
cut?
Karen Bass, and I saw a picture of JJ, you know.
No, you know what JJ is?
On a scooter?
No, JJ looks like, okay, if I was making a Rick Caruso ad, it would be Rick Caruso, and he's walking through all these homeless people, and he's like, this is what LA looks like now. But in 4 years, when I'm finished my term, this is what an LA homeless guy will look like. And it's JJ.
It's a homeless guy
who's been washed down, who's got decent cheekbones. Yeah?
And has an e-bike.
Yeah. Dude, I got to tell you this about my bike. So I used to ride my bike. When I live in like Australia, I'm a big cyclist. I like to ride. Yeah. Good, great for
like the ones
health.
with the
the proper douche bike, man. I clip in.
Yeah.
I like to ride.
Yeah.
And I have one here that I spent maybe $2,000 on. Wow. So it was a good bike.
Yeah.
Oh, you do have one here.
Did.
Oh, okay.
So I'm trying to get an apartment in Venice.
Right.
I told you about this, right?
In Venice?
In Venice.
I'm trying to get an apartment in Venice.
And this is why I think I'm so sour in LA at the moment. I rode my bike to a house. What is it? It's a house showing for a rental, you know, like these.
Oh, they're very, yeah, like a show.
And meeting the agent there. And it's 3:00 in the afternoon. I get to the front of the house. I tie up the bike. I walk in. I look around. I'm like, yeah, this is good. I like this. This is good. And I go downstairs after 15 minutes. My bike lock had been cut, and my bike had been stolen all within the 15 minutes.
Fuck,
and then the agent just comes out the front, and she's like, "So what do you think? Me taking it?" I'm like, "My fucking bike's been stolen while you've been showing me." And she was just like, "The crime rate's overblown."
Oh,
it's all
wow.
Fox News saying that California's, it's like, this is a community that looks after everybody.
What a throwaway blame. It's all Fox News.
It's all Fox News.
My bike was stolen by fucking.
Maybe she was in it.
I'm not kidding you. She was a real hippie lady. She goes, well, maybe the person who took it needed it more.
Fuck that. Are you
kidding me? Tucker Carlson just took off on your bike 2 minutes ago.
It's propaganda.
Wow, that sucks, man.
So that was, and now I'm without a car because I bought a car from downtown Audi
Downtown Audi?
Yeah, at Downtown Audi. I bought an Audi
Q5. Audi, okay, okay.
This was 6 months ago.
Okay.
And I drove it out of the car lot. And yeah. I should have known it was a problem because the guys addressed me as my friend. Those guys, you're not their friend. So he sold me the Audi, and the first day out, the oil light immediately came on. And I brought it back in, and he was just like, oh, it's just the sensor. And so he fixes it.
Yeah.
And I drive out, and 2 days later, the light comes back on. And he's like, oh, it's actually the vacuum pump we must replace. We should have checked it, so we'll do it for free.
Yeah.
They replace the vacuum pump. Another 2 days later goes by. The oil light comes back on. And the guy's like, yeah, car's fucked. I bought it for like 18 grand. And I was like, well, what can we do? And he goes, you have no warranty.
What?
And so as I was trained as a lawyer, I wrote up a statement of claim.
Yeah.
And over 4 months, I battled these dudes and ended up getting 12 back for it, but took a $6,000 loss. And then I was like, because of that, I was like, I'm never buying a car again. I'm just moving to New York because I don't need a car.
Yeah.
Like that one dude at fucking Audi, Marcelo, this
changed
piece
your
of
whole
shit,
thing. Yeah.
Has soured me on the town.
Wow.
Bike stolen, car blown up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, so now you're living in New York?
Kind of the
no,
same.
I'm here still.
Oh. No, he wants
I got no follow through.
He's saying that he wants to escape. But that's kind of the same chain of events that led me to get rid of my car as well, because I got towed while I was I was in New Zealand for like 12 days. I got towed on the second day of my trip and I didn't know. And then I had to get the car out of impound when I got back. And parking's a pain in the ass in LA. And so it was one of the best decisions I made to get rid of my car and start taking Uber and Lyft and using my e-bike to get everywhere.
Yeah, but Uber's also here. Like, Americans have no grace. So, like, in Australia, the Uber ride is very quiet and the driver is listening to headphones.
Mm.
Uber here it was like 50 minutes to get here. I'm rattling around in a tin can. Like, they have to have some standards. Some cars shouldn't be Ubers.
Yeah,
this thing
yeah, yeah.
I'm riding every bump on the freeway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was listening to motivational tapes, like full bore. Like, you can seize the day.
Oh, my God.
You are more than your current
state. I don't want
that. He was like saying mantras.
That you don't want to listen
I don't want
to that?
Somebody that no. has low self-confidence driving me. What
but
the fuck?
I'm like, Australians would never say, like, I would never go, hey, man, can you shut that the fuck up?
Uh-huh.
I don't want to hear you know,
right.
Your mantra
for
the day.
Of course.
Australians, we just sit there and just think about bludgeoning him to death. Like,
but
that's more polite.
It.
We don't. We just sit there and go, and I get out and go, oh, hang in there, mate.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you're trying to achieve, but you'll get there. And then I walk out of there and we just harbor this bitterness. But we can't. An American person will get in and go, can you just turn it?
Shut the fuck up. Exactly. It's like the service. It's
they're
like
very bold here.
Yeah, it is.
They're all networking all the way.
No, it's about, here it's like the customer service always vary here. So it's like you want to get, so it's like if you're the customer, you always want to complain.
I respect
that. It's fine to complain. Because I grew up in, even though I've been here most of my life, like that culture of like being like, you know, don't say anything. It's also very Latin. It's kind of like, same thing. It's like, don't say anything. Don't say, because you're not going to get, but here's about like, no. I remember I used to get weird about, because my dad was like that. He was the one who's like, no, we're not sitting here. Like, you know, and I would be like, dad, what are you doing? And I'm like, now I grow up, I'm like, yes. He was right. It's like, why am I going to, when you go to a restaurant, they put you next to the fucking bathroom. Nah.
Well, JJ likes to sit next to the
bathroom. Oh, yeah, of course. He likes it.
He's like, it's always like the plane.
He's like, can I just sit in the kitchen with the workers? Because I fight for the workers. fucking commie. He starts giving pamphlets and shit. It's like, hey, read this.
Hey, are you guys getting paid enough?
It's such a false narrative.
Unionized.
I don't want to know what this plastic bag is that you've given me.
A plastic bag full of clothes.
That's bad.
That's
you don't
so
and a backpack.
Not true.
You don't even have a suitcase.
I do.
How
this
do you come from a plastic
this
bag?
This is impossibly untrue.
You had on the end of a stick.
Motherfucker. At least it was a hockey stick. I had a hockey stick with the, you know, immigrant brand.
Yeah, no,
with
no.
With just a maple leaf bag hanging off.
I'm still obsessed with you guys saying I'm an immigrant. Like, that is actually just sinking in. Do you look at a guy like me wearing Polo Ralph Lauren and can you say immigrant?
That's the thing, because the immigrant, that's a word. I mean, the word has become like when you think immigrant, it automatically becomes like a negative thing, or like you're poor, or you're like you came here because it's like you
escaping
problems. Something or like whatever. Like, but yeah, anybody's an immigrant when you go move to another country. You could just be.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't want to be soppy here, but the eye-opening experience for me moving to America was I am an educated, I have reasonable money in the bank. English is my first language, and I had friends who live in this town who are well off, and it was still a fucking nightmare to get a license, to get a bank account.
That's crazy.
I truly look at anyone who comes here from another country.
Imagine the one
who can't
they
speak
don't have
English
any of that.
And they've got nothing here.
Yeah.
I don't know how they survive because there's been so many times where I'm like, I don't know how to get an account.
Exactly.
They won't give me an account. Yeah. I don't know what these fucking, I did a law degree and I still was struggling at like the DMV to fill out a form. I'm not a moron no one here helps you. The attitude of America is just like, figure it out.
Exactly.
You're lucky
survival
to be here.
Of the
Fuck
fittest.
Off.
That's pretty much here. You're like, we're not going
to
help you.
With the knowledge that I have about how difficult it is to become, have I helped any? No. now that I've become an American, I'm just like, work it out, bitch.
Has my empathy shone through? No. Well, I think you have to, I think if you can't speak the language stuff, you have to move to a community of, you know, like I remember my ex-girlfriend who was Vietnamese in England, and I remember she lived in Hackney, and they had two streets, and it was all, they were all Vietnamese, and I would say only half of them knew English. A lot of them were older, you know, and pensioners and stuff, like her parents and stuff, they had all escaped Vietnam in the 70s or whatever. And that's what they have to live next to each other. They have to.
Well, you got no. I mean, my family are Croatian, right? So they came to Australia during our war. Mm. And so, I think back to how harsh I was on my Croatian grandparents. They spoke really bad English, and I remember honestly thinking when I was a kid, my grandparents are the dumbest people I know. Like, they'll say things like, "Where from coming today? To from you come?"
Yeah,
I'm like, "Bubba's a dumb bitch." I'm like, I didn't respect her. I'm like, she can't even conjugate a sentence, and she's gonna tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And then I realize, she's speaking another language.
Of course, and speaking another language.
And she's like moved country to escape like war.
Yeah,
but you don't. When you're the dominant culture, you're just like either you're at this level. Or we don't care.
Well, it's the whole thing of like being in the club, like being inside the club and being in outside the club. Everything's always like that. It's like, you're like, but once you're in, you're like, don't let those people in.
Yeah, of course.
I'm better than those people.
That's why like immigrants
like,
always...
And you don't realize, you were fucking outside like a second
immigrants
ago.
Are the first, often, to get conservative about Border Patrol.
Well, this is why like...
Because they're like, it was hard for me, it should be hard for you.
Talking about the politics, I mean, the elections yesterday, this is why there was this like in Florida, like especially like in the Miami-Dade County, like all this switch now to vote for like Republican, you know, and that's literally all Cubans and Venezuelans that don't, most, they probably don't speak English.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was starting to happen 4 years ago, right? As well? Wasn't it? There was a groundswell
But I think it is that thing of like, yeah, like you said, it's like a lot of people like, yeah, well, I mean, now it's going to be.
Well, there's two kinds of people on everything though, right? There is my life was hard. So you even see it with parents. There's two kinds of parents. There was my life was really hard. So your life has to be hard too. Mm-hmm. Like you've got those dads who are just like, when I grew up, it was tough. So it's going to be tough for you. Or you get the dads who are like, my life was suffering and I'm going to work so hard that you never have to go through what I did.
Exactly.
Yeah. And all people split into either camp. Some people just can't be happy like that they suffered and others won't.
Exactly.
And so they're like, everyone's got to fucking, everyone should nearly commit suicide and make it through. That's how you get character. So you're psychotic.
Yeah.
You're deeply scarred human being.
That's true. I mean, it's like, it is that thing of like, there's no like a middle. It's like, no, it's like, it's got to be either one or the other. There's not like, because so it's bad to me. Extremes are always bad because you can also give everything to somebody because then they turn out to be like spoiled brats that they don't know how to even do shit. And then also you cannot make everybody just suffer. Just because you suffer, it's like fuck it.
Right.
It's like fuck it. Like that happened to you. Doesn't mean you have to make everybody.
Well, I've tried to become the embassy for Australian comedians now. So when people are coming here, so I'm like, and it's been really embarrassing.
You're
for me
importing your own
because
competition.
Because I have Australian comedians come out, and my Instagram is like the Laugh Factory. It's like pictures of me at the comedy store, but I'm just here to like watch, and they're just like, dude, you're at the store, like. Can you get me up? And I'm like, can I get you up? I've done one Wednesday in 4 months. And then I have this moment with all these Aussie comedians. And I always have to say to them as they go back on a plane to Sydney, I'm like, please don't tell people how I live.
You still want to pretend. But it is, I mean, it's, and then so because it is hard because coming from like, yeah, especially like if you have like a career, you have like success, and then coming from and then trying to duplicate the same thing and then not have it's hard. I mean,
now more than coming from status, let me tell you this coming from I've had no money, then I had a period in Australia where I had like a really good job on some TV and radio and some good live touring money. To have money and then to no longer have money is an absolute. I mean, most of my clothes are like 7 years old. You know, it's like I've had a period where I know the calm of like you get a parking ticket and you're like, all right,
who cares? Yeah,
I got a good spot though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't have to drive around the neighborhood. Now I get a parking fine, and it's like I might have to go. Huh?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I had a wisdom tooth. Did I tell you about the time I had my wisdom tooth extracted here?
Oh, right.
I have no health insurance. And I had a wisdom tooth come through, and I went to a dentist.
Yeah.
And to not have like money behind you with medical problems in America, it's like, it's 100% where I go to the dentist.
I've been complaining to him recently as well because I've been going through the medical system here for some stuff. Yeah,
and you feel like you're just like, I went to the dentist, I said, this wisdom tooth, and it's like, it's pussy, and like, it's got to come out. And they were like, it's $4,500. And I was like, I could.
$4,000?
Yeah, to get this wisdom tooth taken out. And I had to take the, I was already like in the gown. And I took the gown off and I was like, no wisdom tooth extraction for me.
Wow.
Like, I've never seen healthcare as like a product, right? And I was like, that's a product I can't afford.
Yeah.
So I went on a group called Aussies in LA, which is our little community. Like we're talking about, you need to stick to your own.
Did you get a friend to just come over and yank it out for you?
Dude, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. This guy goes, I know a guy at UCLA. He's a dental studies senior. And you go to UCLA at like 1 a.m. He's from Iran. He and his sister will take your tooth out for $300. So I had to break into UCLA with this guy who goes into the student lab. I didn't get put under. I just had the gas and local anesthetic. And he and his sister are yanking my tooth out. They broke my lingual bone at the back here.
Oh, this isn't a good. This isn't a good story at all.
No, but it's like they got it out. Story. It was $300, and they gave me about 50 oxys, and that was the American dream.
And let me tell you,
what about the damage that they did?
It healed.
Okay. And let me tell you. Because of that, you are an immigrant. That's very, I mean, just to do that, the fact that you had to fucking do, like, find something, because that's a very immigrant.
That's
like,
some immigrant
I
got to
find a way of, like, this is what, like, one of the bits that I do is, like, when you become an immigrant, you become resourceful. You cannot just be like, because shit doesn't work, especially coming from other countries when shit doesn't work. It's like, well, I'm not going to do this shit, but I got to find another way. And then you find ways, like, hey, come on, give me a service. Yeah. Like, my own.
And let me tell you this. The moment I can vote in this country and they say dental should be free, I'm voting no immediately.
I went through that shit.
Close that door behind you, man. That's a good immigrant.
Man.
I don't want to see you smile.
But yeah, I mean,
I can't smile because of my fucking tooth.
I never get to smile again. Thanks to fuck him.
I've been saying the same thing to Francisco. And I mean, dental-wise, so I've got this broken foot that I'm trying to heal from. And dental-wise, I got fully charged, even though I have the coverage on my on my insurance. So I've been trying, and I've been just calling him and going, because I'm that American argument of like, yeah, but Canadians have to wait. There's always a waiting time.
Yeah. That's bullshit.
Fuck that. I would rather wait. I would rather go to the place with a book and know that I might have to wait an extra 45 minutes to an hour. Because here, the amount of time I've been on the phone, I still haven't recouped this dental fee. Because I talked to billing, and billing goes, oh, no, that's not us. You need to talk to scheduling. And so then I have to go on hold to scheduling.
Well, I'm a hypochondriac, man.
And here, you're just talking to so many departments that are all doing what one department should be able to do. You're literally waiting on the phone for hours.
Well, you're a hypochondriac, and you went and broke into UCLA at 1 in the morning.
You're not
that bad.
This is a special kind
the
of
the thing about like being a hypochondriac in America. It's like it's the most expensive like thing to be is a hypochondriac here, because luckily Zoom doctors exist now, and I'm waking up at all hours like showing pictures of my shit to my doctor back in Australia.
Holy Jesus!
Because I took a black shit the other day, and
if black is bad.
It was real bad.
Yeah.
And so I had to face.
Black is bad. That's the name of a good album. Black is bad.
Good to know.
You don't know about black.
I didn't know
shit?
I could be myself here. Black
well,
is
I,
bad.
I assume. I don't think I've had a black shit, but I would assume alcohol's involved, because wine makes your shit green.
Green.
So, yeah.
I know this hobo fucking shitting
connoisseur.
This fucking shitting Skittles. He's like, oh, that's fine.
It's
like,
true.
What?
I'm just spitting facts. So I would say alcohol.
But yeah, black shit is bad.
It's like bad. If it's bleeding.
It was a little piece of coal with some blood around it. Yeah, that's a bad.
So you do this. So you go through Zoom to your in Australia, doctors in Australia.
Yeah. So, but this is a weird thing. Is he was like, so I went over there, when I came back to, for a corporate gig, and he was like, he gave me these 6 tubes to shit in.
Okay.
To test to see if I got bowel cancer or whatever.
How do you do that, by the way? Do you have to pick it up or you shit on that thing?
I think you shit and you kind of scoop.
I got it, yeah, right?
Like
you're not like
cup.
Shitting like going like this.
It's very small. You know?
Hey, man. You might be good at that. Bullseye.
You have to do it on camera.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, you need to shit in these. But I couldn't be there for 6 days in a row. I was coming back to America. Mm. So I just at home have these 6 vials I meant to shit in. And I'm like, can I overnight bag them? Like, will FedEx get these home in time? Is it going to be refrigerated? What's the shipping cost? And like, I'd have to tick on the customs form what it is and what its value is.
Oh, man. Shipping for
shit. I'm just not going to, I mean, that's the fear. Another fear for the immigrant. And I also get why Americans are the way they are about stepping over each other. And this tension in the States, which is like, if you don't have healthcare, you do feel like it is life or death here. Yeah. And so no wonder everyone's like fucking stressed out. It's like, if I don't get my peace, it's like the end of me and my family.
Exactly.
And so when you do live in a country with socialized medicine,
you kind of chill a little bit. Yeah.
You know, like, and yes, it means that you don't make grand inventions because we don't have the same enthusiasm to get ahead in Australia.
Yes.
Because we're fine to like have a van and drink wine out of a goon sack, we call it, like a bag of wine, get hammered and play by the beach.
And that's
because
it.
If you get in an accident, you're going to be looked after. And so your life, it's about chill lifestyle.
Yeah.
Getting hammered, hanging out with your friends. But if you do that here, it's like, well, you're ruining your future.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're taking a big chance.
Exactly.
So I feel that here.
This is
America is a place for winners. It's a great immigrant country because you're saying, I'm a winner. Mm-hmm. It's a casino. And you walk in here and you go, I would hate to have been born in this country because it's very hard to get out if you're a loser. Mm-hmm. If you don't have any special talent and you're born in some low station, you're fucked. But if you move here and you've got some kind of skills, there is a potluck that you might strike gold. And if you fail, you get to go home to your country.
And also it has the ability. It is one of the countries where you, if you do have that drive and that thing, you can be successful. You know, other countries, they even if you have that drive, it doesn't even allow you to be successful because shit in the government or like too much, you know, like.
No, man, Australians don't even want you to be successful socially. Like America, the biggest change for me was you start to do well or something good happens to you and people are like, well done, man. Great.
It's high school.
Well done. But in Australia, you're like, oh, I'm going to be on TV. And everyone's just like, yeah, all right, fucking Liam Hemsworth.
Oh, really?
Fucking Sue. How good do you reckon you are?
They put you down.
We don't want anyone to achieve.
Is that the tall poppy syndrome thing like the Kiwis syndrome. Have as well?
What is it?
Tall poppy syndrome, they call it.
What is that?
Means if you get too big, we really want to cut you down.
But one of my favorite things ever is people who are like, yeah, man, it was tall poppy syndrome that like cut me down in Australia. And it's like, you weren't that tall a poppy. You were an asshole.
It's not an excuse for the failure of your career. It's more of a social excuse for a little bit of a setback, but not a...
But also, I was like right wing in Australia. And that's been the biggest readjustment for me too, is I identified as an Australian conservative, but then I come to America and I'm Karl Marx. Like, so I still haven't found
somebody
where I belong.
Else is a communist.
Yeah, I know, because I'll be in Australia and I'm like, oh, I don't like the policies of the left here. And I don't like this identity politics and this woke bunkum that's coming through. I hate this divisive nature. And I would think people should be able to get ahead and succeed. And then I moved to America and I'm like, yeah, I'm a conservative. And then I go and see conservatives here and I'm like, oh, no. I mean, I don't think you should have an assault rifle and a basketball. Yeah.
That level of conservative. Yeah.
And I think you should have some health care and people shouldn't be decaying in hell on the street.
There's layers.
And so, you know, I don't know where to belong.
It's very hard. You can identify as a moderate, but it just means you get attacked from both sides. Because I do the same thing. I have issues that I agree with.
Well, that's the problem here. You shouldn't be like one or the other. It's like, why can't I just be in the middle? Why can't I like this couple of things here and a couple of things here? It's like, this is the problem that a lot of people just vote because of their party, and that should not be it. Like, my thing is like,
it's a two-team system.
A lot of the politics here is very like sports. Like, here people, like, so, for example, if you support the Cleveland Browns, where you're usually like really bad team, it's like, it's not. You can't do that with politics. It's fine to support a team that sucks because that doesn't.
Well, you could get the same policies, and get like an LA person who's not that smart and doesn't really know that much. And you could say, "Hey, did you hear the Democratic candidate said this?" And that same person would be like, "Yeah, yes, agreed." But you could come up to them the next day and be like, "Did you hear the Republican? This guy, he just said," and you said the exact same point. Now they'll be like, "He's a bigot."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did these people are so confident politically without any reading behind
them.
Just
by reading the name.
Just by like, blue, red. Like, all these people think they're more advanced than other people in like the South or the Midwest or whatever. But to me, I just look at like an LA woke person and I see them like a WWE fan.
Mm.
Just booing the heel and cheering this supposed hero.
Uh-huh.
They're thick.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's true. It's like it's just looking at, not seeing, not listening to the person or listening
not
to the
policy. Not
actually
looking at the issues.
Exactly. Or reading the policies. But it's just more about like, no, he's already, I don't like him because he's a
But I
Democrat.
Like that you can vote on issues here, like whether or not there's vaping.
And that happened a lot in last night's election.
Yeah. Do you get to vote?
I voted yesterday.
So What was the answer?
One was the abortion one, and then the other one was the...
So you can, wouldn't it be great if you could vote on each individual abortion case?
that's a long election.
But, not abortion in general, but just like, this is Tammy, this is who the father's going to be, is she keeping it?
Well, that just becomes... that becomes like,
I like the look of her.
That's just one of those TV... The what?
It's called Maury.
I was going to say. So it becomes a Maury Povich show or like... No, the other one was about the gambling thing, which that one didn't.
Yeah,
pass,
I'm fucking devastated. Right. Australians are the biggest gamblers. I mean, I gamble on my phone in Australia all the time, right? We're the biggest gamblers per capita on earth.
Yeah.
I thought you would have voted for that.
Yeah. I thought they would have wanted better.
But they lost by a lot. Like,
yeah, right.
You know, like,
and it was 80%.
I guess everybody's 80%. Like, you can just go over to Nevada. Just go to Nevada.
Yeah, I guess because Vegas is so close.
Vegas is close, so they're like, blow your money
there. That's another weird thing, is that you guys have like got a culture where people are wearing like army camo and walking around with like assault rifles on them, okay? It's pretty full-on macho culture.
Yeah.
But you can't say fuck on Jimmy Fallon at 11:30 p.m.
Yeah.
And you can't like gamble
that is,
on your
that
phone.
That is crazy.
And
I'm like, it's like, well, there's a lot of like, I think it's a lot has to do with the, a lot of like the conservative look of like, you know, keeping everything like, you know, like religions or like, here, this is how we do it. But then you're doing crazy shit like when nobody's looking. You know what I mean?
You've got many stories. Well, it's like the fucking strip club here. You have to drink water when you're watching someone play with their pussy. And you're like, this isn't right. That's why I can't go to strip clubs in this town.
That's one thing about living in Europe and stuff. You see how the French and everything, they all embrace what is considered like porn here. It can be on terrestrial TV. Like, it's commonplace, but they won't touch violence. Whereas in America, it's all about the violence.
Well, in LA, because in the U.S., it was colonized by Puritans and by people that were coming here because of... they didn't like.
Totally.
It's been in the culture since the beginning of the culture.
I went to that body shop, a strip club, like 4 or 5 years ago when I first came here, and I didn't know that you couldn't drink alcohol. And I'm not kidding. There was like two girls eating each other out on a stage, and I was sipping a Diet Coke, and it's like 2 a.m. It's just like, I can't justify watching this.
because
I can't blame this on the caffeine.
Now listen.
And you started like your choices. You're like, what am I doing? Because when you're drinking, you're going like, fuck, I'm having fun. But you're drinking Coke. You're
having
fuck.
A liquid death.
Yeah.
Now listen, buddy. We originally had you booked in this early slot because you had to take off. But if it's cool with you, we'll get you to stick around. We'll do another episode. We haven't even dove in and found out about Amos's few travel stories on the other side of what we like to do on the show.
Part
so if you'll hang out,
part two.
Yeah, we'll do.
So who pulled out?
We'll do a little.
Who hasn't
we'll do
made
a little bit of a
surely
reset.
On the strength of this performance, you can't be demanding more.
I was thinking of a question though in relation to what you were saying about the elections. Well, do you find that as a moderate? No, because we'll change topics for the next one. We'll do a reboot. But do you find like when you're talking about these elections,
he's got shit.
If you make a joke, and you may find this as well, but if you make a joke that's on either of the talking points of either side, do you get tons of harassment and immediately they label you as being like if you make a joke on a Republican talking point, then they immediately label you as a lib and like, oh, lib doesn't know what he's talking about.
Oh man, it's
and vice versa. It's insane, isn't it?
Well, like, I'll have like bits about like hating on women's sports, and so I'll get all these bros who are just like, fuck yeah, dude.
Right.
You tell it how it is.
Yeah.
And then my next clip will be like, man, people need some healthcare in this country, and they're like, fucking libtard.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm all over the map, man.
Yeah, that's what cracks me up about living in this town.
That's what I mean. It's like you can't just, why can't you just be from every choices, you know? People just,
it's our job as comics to mock everything and every side. Like George Carlin would do every topic and every angle, and he mocked liberals just as much as he mocked Republicans.
I went on a conservative radio the other day.
Yeah.
And it was the best bit of hypocrisy I've ever seen. This guy's just like, this is Australian conservative talk radio. He's like, we've got Amos Gill with us now. Amos, I absolutely love your stuff. You know, as a conservative, I watch your stand-up. And to me, you're not one of these classically woke guys. You're just happy to be funny. And it's you lead with the jokes first, mate. And we love that about you. And, you know, you're really not afraid to get into the left. And then I swear to God, he goes, we had a comedian on the show the other day and he was criticizing the mining industry here in Western Australia, and mining is what keeps this state going. And I thought, who are you to come on here, you know, this work and criticize mining? And I had to terminate the interview early. And I'm like, dude, but you literally told me that you love me because I come on here and just say what I think. And I'm like about freedom of speech. And then you also tell me that you dumped another comedian because you didn't like their take on mining.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is like every hypocrite. And I also hate how like comedians will go like, oh man, you can't say anything anymore when you're attacking the woke. And then they attack you. And then they're like, why are these people harassing me?
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck? You're a bitch as well.
Yeah,
like right-wing people are the biggest cowards as well, where they're like, they can't handle any feedback. Dude, just say what you think. Everyone fucking hates everybody. Get out of there and take Oxy. Just lay at home and just have the splendor of oxycodone running through your body, and you don't care
you
what anyone has to say.
From your
makeshift dental.
If anybody's looking for Oxy, he's got 45 packets.
That is a life philosophy to be able to leave this pod on, man.
How to deal with the haters.
Oh, by the way,
opioid.
Can you let people know where they can find you? If you got anything that you want to promote, please let them know.
I'm a bit of Amos Gill on Instagram. It's the only thing that I really care about.
Okay.
Is Instagram.
Awesome. Yeah.
Awesome. Only because it looks good for the ladies.
Can we
and I don't
find
care
you in the
career.
Street taking in the architecture of Los Angeles?
Yeah, going from door to door of comedians asking if I can live in their house.
Awesome.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
All right, so this is part one of part two. Remember to subscribe to the podcast, follow us, send us, subscribe to the YouTube, follow us on Instagram and TikTok as well, and we'll be right back. Bye, hello. Okay.